You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Yeah, this is relatively new stuff from Rod Stewart. By that, it's 4 years old. And the song is called One More Time. It's a really good song.
He sounds good.
Yeah, still sounds great.
So file this under just let me try for 15 minutes to be a millionaire, because we've watched other people do it so poorly.
Mm-hmm. I would be good at it.
Did you see the video that shows the moment a $167 million Powerball winner is tackled and tased after attacking a deputy in, wait for it, Florida?
Of course.
Body camera footage caught the brawl on tape. 50-year-old James Farthing is his name.
His name is Farthing?
Farthing. He booted a Pinellas County Sheriff's deputy in the head after he is alleged to have punched a hotel guest in the face.
Mr. Farthing did that?
Farthing ran up and kicked him when a resort security guard rushed in to pin the suspect against the wall and help the deputy. That's when he is alleged to have kicked the deputy. I just got kicked, the dumbfounded deputy could be heard radioing as security guards yelled at Farthing to stand down.
You need to enunciate more. It's Farthing. Farthing.
The officer picked up his taser and tased Farthing, ordering him to put his hands up. Put your hands behind your back now. Put your hands behind your back. Farthing then muttered an apology. I'm sorry, man. Please, he said. Save your blanking sorries for later, Farthing, the deputy fired back.
Stop.
The law enforcement officer had swelling and redness on the right side of his face and under his eye. Farthing hit Kentucky's largest lottery jackpot the day before, opting to split the winnings with his mother as an early Mother's Day gift. Mrs. Farthing.
Farthing.
Mrs. Farthing.
Following his arrest, it was revealed that Farthing is a career criminal who has racked up convictions across 9 counties in Kentucky for a litany of offenses, including choking a girlfriend, bribing police officers while in prison, selling drugs to an undercover police officer. Along with Farthing, police also arrested his girlfriend, Jacqueline Fightmaster.
No.
Yes.
Wait, stop.
I'm done.
Farthing was arrested with Fightmaster because Fightmaster got involved in the brawl with Farthing.
Was he fighting the urge to start
he
farting?
He was fighting the urge.
Was it a windy
against
day?
Was farting.
Not, and he was not the master of his farting problem.
Farthing has been charged with resisting an officer without violence, battery on LEO, and parole violation.
We're going to get in a lot
You know,
trouble.
There's nothing in the fine print that says
you have to be an outstanding
citizen.
You've
got to be an outstanding citizen to win the Powerball.
That is correct.
Farting or otherwise.
You're not enunciating properly.
Farthing.
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 If my last name was Farthing, I'd be pretty distraught too.
Can you imagine the hyphenated possibilities if you were to marry that man? You can't. You can't hyphenate Farthing. You can't.
Fightmaster Farthing.
Oh, that would be so good.
I'm not sure which last name is worse. I mean, that is a match made in heaven. Which one are we going to go with, hon? Neither choice is really that good.
Redness in the eye from Farthing? Wonder what that was.
Can you? I don't feel sorry for him because allegedly he did some bad things. But can you imagine going through high school? And I understand the proper pronunciation is Farthing.
Yeah.
But it really is Farthing. And, I mean, tell me this guy didn't get butchered in high school when he showed up with that last name.
Yeah.
And Fightmaster's not a lot better. I'm sure his girlfriend got it too. What's your name, Farthing?
You mean Fightmaster's kind of tough.
Yeah, that you're right.
Farting, there is no saving
Farthing.
Grace.
Farthing. Yeah, all right.
Moving on.
How do you?
I'm just reading the news.
That's all we do. We're just news
did
readers.
Did you pick that story for any reason other than his last name?
I did not notice the last name until I got into the body of the story. That is a fact. I just thought, how can you have $169 million and blow it? But they all do. A lot of them
blow
do.
Blow it? You mean like the wind?
He could have gotten some very exotic cheese and then cut it.
All right, story here from NBC News. Listen to this. Ever since he transferred to the University of Oklahoma last winter, scrutiny has followed John Mateer for how the quarterback, rated one of the best in college football, would perform on the field.
Okay.
This week, John Mateer, the quarterback at OU, has found himself under the spotlight for different reasons after screenshots from his personal Venmo account surfaced on social media.
Oh, this is what the sports boys were talking about.
Showing two transactions labeled sports gambling. Both transactions were from November 20th, 2022, when Mateer was a freshman at Washington State and were allegedly sent to a Venmo account for Richard Roten. One transaction was labeled sports gambling and in parentheses, UCLA versus USC. UCLA and USC had played one another the day before. The NCAA prohibits student athletes and staff members from betting on sports, no matter whether at the collegiate, professional, or amateur level, and breaking those rules can cost athletes their remaining eligibility. Mateer, thinking that the United States is dumb, published a statement on social media today denying any wrongdoing, saying, quote, I have not engaged in any sports gambling.
Is it possible that when he was putting in, because this is public, if I Venmo'd you right now, I could put, here's Scott, it's $20. It just says $20. I can put whatever memo on there I'd like. I could put $20 down and say it's for black tar heroin. I could put $20 down on Venmo and Venmo you and say it's for a handbag. You can pick whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that he was making a joke the way I've seen my adult children make a joke, for, quote, something stupid that's not really what they're buying?
He claims it was an inside joke between him and this Richard character.
Yes.
And says, I have not engaged in any sports
gambling.
Because
you would not be stupid enough to Venmo someone and do something illegal and then legitimately call it that illegal thing.
I was known to put illicit drugs as the caption line on Venmo.
You can put whatever you want on Venmo. So he is either the dumbest person in the history of getting caught breaking the law,
or he's a dumb quarterback.
He was
who
making
thinks
a
that's
joke.
Funny.
He was making a joke and did not think, okay, what if someone goes back into my Venmo and sees that I did this?
But he should know. I mean, I'm not saying he gambled. I have no idea.
He should know that that's probably one of the things you don't joke about. You know, I also, if you're an athlete, would not Venmo someone $50 and put for performance enhancing drugs,
right?
As a joke. Like, I get it. It's funny, haha. That's not really what it's for. It's for the movie last night.
Whose Venmo is still public?
Mine's not, but I think yours can be. But if you don't.
I made mine private years ago.
I know what you're talking about. I mean, back in the day when I would write checks to my friends to pay them back for something.
And by back in the day, do you mean Tuesday?
No, Monday. But I would, like, if I was writing a check to Brenninger or my buddy Chris Smith or my brother, under the memo line on the check, I would write for last night.
Yeah.
You know, just something stupid that would be, you know, mildly embarrassing when they took it to the bank to cash it.
That itch cream you needed.
Yes, right.
Exactly. But not sports gambling.
I'm a starting quarterback at a major franchise.
Scott,
I tend
to believe it was a joke because I cannot imagine anyone would be that stupid.
Well, you know what? The NCAA is going to take a very good look.
Didn't the sports guys also say it listed the game?
Yes, I read that. It said online sports gambling, God. USC versus UCLA, and they had played the day prior.
He's good at bookkeeping.
Well, you've got to keep accurate records, Sam.
Just do it privately.
I need to know, you know, I lost $20 on that game, you know, which team screwed me, and it was USC.
Maybe he could reach out to Farting for some monetary assistance.
He's full of great advice and some money and, you know, probably wearing orange today.
Yes. Speaking of people who are wearing orange, we now know at least part of the motive behind the Fort Stewart shooting last week.
So we thought it was workplace violence, and it was. But in addition to that, what do we know?
So this is from CBS News. One of the victims injured in the shooting at Fort Stewart last week was the intimate partner of the accused, according to the Army Office of the Special Trial Counsel, which is why the charges against Sergeant Cornelius Radford included a specification of domestic violence.
Yeah. God.
Sergeant Radford was also charged today with several counts of attempted premeditated murder. By the way, in the military justice system, that carries a potential life in prison.
Oh, he'll never see the light of day.
Probably at Fort Leavenworth. Aggravated assault, inflicting grievous bodily harm, and aggravated assault with a dangerous weapon. You may recall five soldiers were injured when the active duty sergeant opened fire on his coworkers last week at the post near the Georgia coast.
All right, when we get back, have you heard of the term wardrobing?
Wardrobing?
Or the weekend rental. Oh. There's a group of workers, I'm not going to say which shop, but a group of workers has been known to take bets.
Yeah.
They are placing bets on what you will return after certain holidays or days of import in the United States. Have you done it? What have you used and then taken back?
Or even in this story, somebody bought an air conditioner for the summer and then took it back.
They're on to you.
913
for the rest of us, what you're going to do.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Don't be embarrassed. These are called, well, you should be embarrassed.
I was gonna say, are we sure about that?
They're called weekend rentals or wardrobing, and everyone's doing it. That is not true. It's gotten so bad, Walmart is thinking about changing their return policies. Sure, returning a suit after a wedding or a big screen TV the day after the Super Bowl is shady. But at Costco, this story goes on to say, the workers there are actually placing bets on how many generators get returned after a big storm.
So aren't there some big retailers that are now saying with certain big electronics items, and you mentioned a big one, taking the big screen TV back the day after the Super Bowl, that they're either no longer going to accept those back if it's not sealed in the original packaging.
Or well, what if it didn't work?
Remember what Best Buy used to do? There would be a restocking fee.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Amazon a couple of years ago threatened to charge like $5 per return or last year or something, but they never did that.
But that was a little bit different, if I'm not mistaken, because what was happening there was not that people were ordering something on Amazon and then, you know, wearing it to a special event or something like that and then sending it back. What people were doing was, I really like this clothing item, but I don't know if, you know, the company that's making this, if I'm a medium or a large.
Yeah.
Right.
That's, I think, acceptable. And Most people have done that.
What people were doing was ordering two or three different sizes of the same item, figuring out which one fit them well, and then returning the other two.
Isn't that just a better use of your time than going back and forth and back and forth on their end and your end?
Not for them.
From the text line, I was a manager at Forever 21 in the 2010s, the one by the plaza. Every Monday, or most Mondays, we'd have at least one, if not many, many more, return items that smelled just like Power and Light. Booze, smoke, and perfume.
And bad decisions.
And they would have an absolute meltdown because I would smell the item, hand it back to them, and deny the return.
Good. I mean... You can't afford the rent if everybody's just borrowing the clothes and wanting their money back on a Monday.
Be honest, what have you...
Never.
Ever taken back?
Oh, taken... I mean, I've taken clothing back if it was, you know, too big or too small, but I've never worn or used an item, you know, for a short period of time and said, that...
The weekend rental.
Yeah, I've never done a weekend rental.
The generator after a storm. And by the way, they're all on to you if you're buying a generator when the power goes out and then the next day going, I decided I didn't need this.
Or a big TV on a Saturday and you return it on a Monday. They know exactly what you did. But Sam, what was the term you used last week, the tag, or 2 weeks ago when this topic first came up? Something... A tag stuffer
or tag tucker.
Tag tucker.
A tag tucker?
Tag tucker.
Well, so now, like, you'll see, and it's specifically with women's clothing. Sorry, it's predominantly women that do this. Guys just go out and buy stuff and keep it.
I'd be embarrassed to take something back, you know, if I tried to stiff the store.
Somebody in my life had bought a jean jacket, and I was really confused because the tag on the jean jacket was in the middle of the back.
Oh. Just right there.
Right in the middle of the back. Like, typically they put it up on the collar, maybe on a seam, the cuff, something like that, right?
Well, they're trying to cut back on tag tucking.
That's the exact reason why they did that. You can't tuck it if it's in the middle of the back.
That's a smart play.
Yeah.
Huh.
We had to take something back today. It's an unusual item, but it had to be done.
Did you use it?
No. But I do want to know how they handle this specific item when it is returned. And sometimes you have to return a toilet. I'm sorry, but you do. And we did.
What was wrong with the toilet?
It was leaking.
Well, that's a problem.
And
did
so...
did you get a wax ring?
Yes.
Okay.
It was put in correctly. I think there was maybe a chip on the inside. We don't know. Huh. We took it directly out of the box, had it installed. And it was leaking. And so we took it back, got a new one, and the new one works fine. Can they resell a toilet?
You didn't use it, right?
No.
They did the little, install it?
Yes, but they used the water test, Sam, and the minute they flushed it, it started leaking, and they were like, uh-oh. And so we took that back, got another one. But I don't know, can you resell a toilet? We didn't use it, but like that's one of those things that, I mean, do they just trash it when you take it back?
They probably would send it, my guess would be send it back to the manufacturer and have them rebox it. But if it's broken... if it was leaking, it's not salvageable.
When I was big into running, you know, shoes are very important. And there were a lot of times that I would go and run a couple of times on a pair of shoes. And I would take them back and be like, hey, this is not the shoe that I was supposed to get.
And Sam Yule.
It's the shoe you got.
Well, yeah, but it was like I would show them and they were always very good about it. And I always bought Nike products. I'd be like, hey, it's supposed to have cushion right here. It very clearly does not have cushion right here. And they'd be like, okay. And I would get a different pair that was supposed to actually be what it was supposed to be.
You didn't notice that when you were trying them on?
You can't really tell until you go run 8 miles.
Really?
Well, running 8 miles is dumb anyway.
That's like driving a car for 3 days and you already bought it and you signed all the paperwork and you're like, nah, I'm not feeling it.
Can you just take a car back?
Man, I don't know. After you paid the sales tax and had it tagged and registered.
The only thing I've ever sent back that was like high dollar was some backyard patio furniture. And I won't say the name of the store, but they had it delivered to the house in Western Shawnee. And it looked really nice on the showroom floor.
Yeah.
And then it when I got it in the backyard, I absolutely hated
like,
it.
Like, nope.
And I just...
There's nothing wrong with taking that back.
They didn't even drive off in their truck yet. They put it out back, and I'm looking at it, and I go, this is ugly.
Not feeling it.
And he said, we'll take it back if you want.
Yep.
And I said, yeah, if you don't mind, get it out of here, please.
Yeah, for me, if I'm spending $200 on a pair of shoes, it better be the most comfortable thing that I have ever purchased.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Don't forget to check out the Dana Parks podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to kmbz.com. We'll get to the calls here in just a moment, but I just saw this on CBS News. Danielle Spencer, who played the wisecracking and tattling little sister Dee Thomas on the 1970s sitcom
Yes.
What's Happening, has died. Spencer died at the age of 60. Died after a years-long battle with cancer. Aww. As Dee, Spencer was the smarter, more serious, younger sister.
You absolutely remember her.
Of course I do. Who offered a steady stream of deadpan roasts of Big Brother Roger Thomas and his friends Dwayne Nelson and Rerun. And her catchphrase on the show was, ooh, I'm going to tell Mama.
Yep.
She died yesterday.
I had forgotten about that show. We watched that all the time.
Was on the air from 1976 to 1979.
Yep.
Let's go to the phone. Sheila and Raymore. Sheila, hello.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was calling in about the taking things back after you used them.
Yeah, what'd you do?
I don't know. I don't know if this really applies or not, but I just was thinking, oh my God, I just bought my husband something on Amazon for his birthday, a water bottle. And when he opened the box, took it out of the bubble wrap sleeve, he took the lid off and there was water in it.
There was water in the water bottle.
Yes.
Did you pay for it preloaded, Sheila?
No, if it was going to be preloaded, I might have put something else in there.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. What, did you send it back or did you just clean it?
Yeah, I got to send it back. He's like, should I keep it? I'm like, I mean,
right.
Will somebody already use it and then decide they didn't want it and just throw it back in the box?
I know, gross. I would have taken that back in a second.
Right. So, yes, I have to do that now. But I also wanted to ask one question. Do you guys, when you guys do throw that word out at Brian Busby, do you guys, like, sit around and talk about which word you're going to throw at him? Or you just randomly pick something?
No, we sort of, it's both, Sheila. There are times where we will come across a word in a story or Sam will find something and we'll start giggling and say, we've got to ask Busby if he'll say that.
Okay, because I just think you should use the word phalange sometimes.
Oh, yes, from Friends.
Yeah.
What was her first name, Sheila? Oh, gosh.
Phoebe?
No. Phalange's first name. Was it Rhonda?
Oh, Regina.
Regina Phalange.
Yes.
That's right.
I don't know that even Busby, as good as he is, could get Regina Phalange into a weathercast.
Yeah. Man, that'd be so awesome, though.
It would be.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call and for the idea.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay, be well.
From the text line, went to Vegas for our honeymoon. We bought a microwave at the Walmart in Vegas. Used it all week long. And right before our flight home, we stopped by the Walmart.
Really?
No.
Also from the text line, I return Taco Bell every time I get it. I order it. I eat it.
Send it to New Orleans.
10 minutes later, I return it.
Ted in Garnett. Hello, Ted.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm the person that called in with the cemetery incidents a few months back. Cabela's and Bass Pro Shop have a return policy that whatever it is, they don't care. You can return it. Years ago, when I worked in Montana as a hunting guide, my outfitter would go every June to the Cabela's store in Kearney, Nebraska, or Sydney, Nebraska, because Cabela's would take every single item. They don't care if it was Long John's, a sleeping bag.
Come on.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And people would buy it, wear it, use it, tree stands, sleeping bags, tents. They would leave the tag on it. I know somebody who took an elk hunting trip into Montana, bought all new material, all his camouflage. He took it back and returned it, and they gave him every penny back. Well, Cabela's keeps all that stuff, and then they have a sidewalk sale in June every year, and people will come from all over the United States. The few years that I went for that with my boss, there were 5,000 or 6,000 people that would line up, and they'd fire a shotgun and drop the rope, and you could run into these great big circus tents and pick and grab stuff. People would just grab stuff that didn't fit. They didn't know what it was. They would grab it. Their wife would be sitting on the sidewalk, and they'd drop it in front of her. She'd sit on it, and they'd go back and grab sleeping bags, or they'd go back and grab boots. It was an absolute insane weekend.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the weekend, anything that was left over, they threw in the dumpster.
Threw it in the dumpster?
I don't like that.
Why would they throw it in the dumpster?
Well, you got to understand that if people would buy boots and wear boots all winter long. Huh. Or whatever the piece of merchandise was, I know they would not return guns. They wouldn't take that back. They would not take spotting scopes, anything that was a magnification thing. Huh. But clothes, fishing tackle, and if an employee dumpster dived after the weekend, they would lose their job.
I'll be darned.
Wow.
Okay. Regina Phalange, by the way, makes her first appearance in Friends in season 5. When Ross is getting married to Emily in London and says Rachel instead of Emily, she is, remember, Lisa Kudrow's character was back in the States. She pretends to be Dr. Phalange, Ross's doctor, claiming that names are interchangeable in his mind. And when the friends end up going to Vegas, you'll recall that one, Phoebe introduces herself to the blackjack dealer as Regina Phalange.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. And makes multiple appearances, including in season 8, episode 4.
Got it.
Antoinette in Basser. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
I thought I'd share that yesterday, I returned a cast iron skillet to Walmart because I noticed on the ingredients it says arsenic. And that was my reason. She said, "The reason for the return? Yes, because it has arsenic on it. And we just typically don't want arsenic in our
right.
family." So returned it, did not use it, but shame on me. I should have noticed it on the right there on the front label. It says it includes arsenic.
I have so many questions.
It's a cast iron skillet by I think it's called Mainstay at Walmart.
I'm assuming they didn't give you any grief for wanting to return it for that reason.
No, not at all.
They were okay with that. Okay.
They were totally okay with it. Gave me a full refund.
You have a wonderful evening.
But what about the next person that gets an arsenic pan? Why is there arsenic in our pans?
It says that that's one of its...
I bought my cast irons from Walmart, and now I'm concerned.
Okay, I'm looking it up. Maybe it's not arsenic. Maybe it's something else. It says no arsenic. Arsenic is not intentionally added as an ingredient. However, it can be present as a trace contaminant or impurity in some metals used to make cookware. Okay, well.
So they put it on there just as a CYA.
Right. The concern is leaching, which, by the way, means trace amounts might be present. The main concern is whether these metals, including arsenic, can lead to leaching into your food during cooking.
Leaching. L-E-E-C-H?
No, L-E-A.
Huh.
Great.
Kathy in Olathe. Hello, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi there.
So I don't know all the details because this wasn't actually me. It was a coworker many years ago. She worked for Dillard's, and they had a lady that would come in every single day returning the dress that she had worn the day before.
Every day?
Change every day. And they wouldn't give her money back. They would only exchange it. And so she'd take a new dress, and the next day she'd come in returning the dress that she had come in the day before, wearing that new dress every single day.
At one point, didn't the manager say, enough is enough, we're not doing this anymore?
She said it took a few months, and the manager did finally say, because I guess at the time it was, we have to take it back. It was ours.
Huh.
And manager finally convinced corporate that they need to make an exception in this case and informed the lady, I guess, that, yeah, this is it. You're done.
Yeah, you can't. No more. Yeah.
All right.
Every day?
I think this is an update to a story we had yesterday. Police in California say they have recovered $30,000 worth of stolen Labubu collectibles that were stolen in multiple trips over several days. Chino, California Police Department detectives recovered the Labubus after serving a search warrant at a... I'm just saying the name. Why are you laughing at me? That's not nice.
So dumb.
At a home in Upland, California, where they found 14 boxes of the stolen merchandise, along with evidence indicating the items were about to be resold and shipped across the country.
Yeah, of course. They weren't going to hang on to them because they wanted a bunch of Labubus.
A bunch of what?
Labubus.
Okay. From the New York Post.
Yes.
A UK police department arrested 18 men in a sting operation. But as how they did it, would it be illegal here in the United States?
How do they do it?
Well, that was supposed to be a tease.
Oh, you got to tell me.
Way to go,
we'll
Scott.
We'll tell you in just a minute.
Normally, you would open that sentence up with coming up in just a minute on Dana and Parks, or stick around through the break.
I feel like there's more to this story. Wait, we'll tell you when we come back. Is that better, Scott?
On Dana and Parks. Here on KMBZ 98.1.
Professor Volek is so proud of you right now.
I know.
What happened?
you got to open up with coming up in just a moment on Dana and Parks, and then do your tease. Sam Stevie III. Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Another one-hit wonder.
You're welcome.
The New Radicals. I've kind of enjoyed the one-hit wonders today. That was fun.
So the Surrey Police Department in the UK noticed they were getting a lot of calls into their emergency line regarding the same crime happening at a variety of different hotspots around their town. Okay. So they put a task force together, and they decided, we're going to crack down on this. They grabbed all of their female officers. They dress them up in yoga pants and yoga shorts and sports bras and tight-fitting clothing.
Tell me more.
And had them run around these specific intersections as if they were joggers.
Okay.
Waiting to be catcalled.
Oh!
Which is against the law in the UK.
Catcalling is against the law.
Within 10 minutes, they had made 2 arrests.
Really?
Good for them.
So they are running around, flaunting what they got, trying to draw in the catcall.
Now remember,
pulling men over and arresting them.
Men are not the only people that catcall.
Okay, no, I'm going to stop you right there.
I've
because
been catcalled.
Women do silly things. I'm not saying they don't. But the catcalling on the street corner is a uniquely male problem.
When I was much younger at the University of Nebraska, I got catcalled. And I was sporting a killer mullet back then.
That's why you were catcalled.
And some earrings.
And some earrings. Big ones, too.
But yeah, is that entrapment? Would that be legal in the United States?
No, they weren't. They were just walking, Sam.
So it effectively was an undercover sting,
right? But they were just walking by. They weren't going up and being like, hey, get a load of these. They were just walking by.
No, these were police officers.
I know it.
Who were trying to elicit a certain response from men who otherwise would not have given them that response.
And they didn't
if
dress
they weren't there.
These officers in baggy sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Well, but the women that are getting catcalled were probably not in baggy, I don't know. Would that be allowed here?
Yes. Well, not that sort of police activity.
Why?
Because you can't ban catcalling.
No, but just the act of the undercover.
Well, no, it would be no different. Well, it would be different, but you get my point. Than an undercover police officer dressing up like a prostitute and going out on.
That was exactly going to be my analogy.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, they do it. They just walk.
Yeah,
they can't go up to you and say, hey, would you like, you know, whatever. They just walk. And then if they are solicited, you have broken the law.
Well, and just like you have undercover narcotics officers who will go up and pretend that they're going to buy some drugs off of a drug dealer. They have no intention of ingesting those drugs. They're trying to get you to sell it to them so that they can arrest you for it.
But they get all dressed up. They go out. They start jogging. 10 minutes later, they've arrested 2 men. I mean, that's bad.
From the text line, okay, I am a woman and I have catcalled men before, but yes, it was in the 80s.
You have catcalled men. How does one even catcall a man? Like, what do you do?
The vile things that have been said to me.
Rare. Are you selling spices?
Repeat on the radio.
Are you serious, Sam?
And I mean vile. And I'm like, some of these women went into detail about what they wanted to do to me.
Wait, while you were selling spices at
product.
A home show?
Yeah.
You have got to be kidding me.
In some of the instances, I was like 13.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Poor Sam.
Yeah.
He's a victim.
I'd like to. No, I can't. I'm not even going to say it.
No, do not. But I'm also so sorry that happened to you. There's nothing. I'm shocked. There's nothing funny about that.
Many, many, many times.
If I had
a dollar for every time it happened, I wouldn't have needed to sell dip.
Is it on a ladies' night where, you know, there might be some wine flowing? I'm not blaming the alcohol. I'm just saying.
I will say that ladies' night, I was guaranteed to get quite a few. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Poor Sam.
Lucky bastard.
Leave him alone.
Celebrating birthdays today, boxer Tyson Fury is 37.
Was that his real name?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It's pretty cool.
And guitarist Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits is 76. And
Tyson
of course,
Luke Fury.
Tyson wow. Luke Fury. Okay. And Sir Mix-a-Lot is also 62 years old today. It is National Vinyl Record Day.
Does he like big butts and he cannot lie? He,
that's exactly what he says.
He likes Calipigians.
We got to run. Bonus hour is next. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Park. See you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.